Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Being back with you tonight, I like being where God's people is, don't you?
Yep, amen.
Get enough God's people around, we'll magnify that Holy Ghost and it'll go straight to God and God will be looking at us, won't
he? Yeah, right.
Boy, that's just how I see it. We all get together and we get in there together and it just magnifies because God's a looking now. I'll be in 2 Peter tonight, verse 20. If I could put a title on this tonight, I'd put Backsliders is a Hard Life. Got to praying about this, and this is what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. So we're just going to do the best we can with it. We're going to do what the Lord have us to do tonight. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm not planning nothing out. Never have, never will. God's got it planned out, not me. But I'll tell you right now, I don't understand. I don't understand some people that truly get saved and then they turn away from God. They know his goodness. They've had a taste of it. And then they'll turn right back. I mean, to me, it's like being in jail, you know, but you get in trouble and you get in jail. You're in bondage. You can't get out. You're there until they let you out. But see, God made a way to where we could get out of this. But that's not what we're preaching about tonight. The preaching tonight is about a backslider and how bad it can get. And it will get bad because if you've backslid on God and you've come back to him, but you know how it is, it's not an easy life.
Right.
It's not easy. I'm going to try to read this. Just bear with me. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they know it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You may be seated. I got to reading this and studying this and stuff. And on my Bible here on the side of it, it talks about the pollution of the world. And I got to reading, and this pollution, it's pretty bad. I'm going to read it to you tonight. I've got a few places that I need to go before we need to do what God have us to do here tonight. But now this pollutions of the world, you know, it plainly said that it's better of not known than to know and turn away. Bear with me here. I got so many markers in here. This is a new Bible and I'm trying to get it broke in. But this is the thing. This is the pollution that God said right here because I got to searching this out. And on the side of my Bible there, in that paragraph, it said the pollution of the world. So I got to thinking about it, and I got to reading about it. I said, well, I want to know what this pollution is. I want to know exactly what God's talking about when he's talking about the pollution of the world. Now, this is pretty harsh, so just bear with me. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is part for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to devour thyself with her, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass over through the fire to Molech, if I'm saying that correctly. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination.
Yep.
Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto, it is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for all these things in the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now, I think that's pretty self-explanatory right there.
Yep.
And what we're going to preach about tonight is these backsliders. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, we all sin and we all come up short. Right. But now, I'm talking about these backsliders that's truly been saved. They know the goodness of God. They've tasted it. He's healed them. He's helped them in some way. They know the goodness of Him. And then they'll just turn their back on Him. You might as well just take the cross down and just stomp all over it, because that's what you're doing. You're stomping all over what Christ did. You're stomping on the bloodstained banner. That means that you don't care nothing about God, that you just decide that you're going to walk away from Him. But you know what it ultimately comes down to? Temptation. I'm going to read you a few things right here tonight. Backsliding, the results of backsliding. Pay attention to this. Self-absorption. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall satisfy himself. Now see, the backslider thinks that whatever he does is right and it's good and everybody else is wrong. I don't know if you ever known of anybody that's ever backslid, but if you've ever seen them or if you ever known them, if they get around in family or things like that, they'll look at people and they'll look at them like they could burn a hole through them. They look like if they could just kill somebody. You know why? It's not that something that somebody else did. It's just they're just misery because they turned their back on God, because they decided they want to go back into bondage willingly. Because if you think about it, that's what it is. They've decided to go back into bondage willingly. They're just going to leave God. I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And these people that are backslid, that's what it boils down to. What they do is right and what everybody else is wrong. You get them in a congregation of Christian people, and the first thing they'll do is they'll look down at the ground. They won't look at you in your eye. They'll look down at the ground. It ain't nothing that you've done. It's what they've done. They're ashamed to raise their hand up and look at you.
Yep.
Now I'm telling you the truth. If you've ever known anybody backslid, they're the most miserable human being you've ever seen in your life. They think it's all about them. They can do this and they can do that. You can't do nothing without God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I used to be like that too. Oh, I did this and I did that. I found out the hard way. Without God's putting His favor on it, they ain't nothing going to get done. Let me read a little more here. Religious indifference. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. They'll wax cold towards God. Hey, I'm telling you right now, they'll get to where the devil, oh, I don't believe that, and this and that and another. Let me tell you something. You get to playing in the devil's playground, and he'll take you further than you want to go. I'll tell you right now, these people that's backslid on God for years. God rest my mother's soul. She was backslid for 42 years. You know what she told me before she come back to the Lord several years before she died? She said, well, if you don't know what this person did to me, it don't matter what that person did to you. That was 42 years ago. You can't change the past. Let it go.
Right.
I was still going to Knob Road, and I just told her. There's one night down there, I was fixing to get all upset. And I just told her, I said, let me tell you something. You can't change what somebody did to you back in the 70s. I said, what's been done is done. She said, well, God told me to take thy accuser's hand and go to the altar. I said, did you take thy accuser's hand and go to the altar? She said, no, I walked out of the church. I said, that's when you backslid. If you would have took thy accuser's hand to the altar, he done had it fixed. He was waiting on you.
Yep.
So don't be pointing your finger at anybody else. See, when you backslid like that, hey, I'm telling you, this goes on in a lot of churches. It goes on because you got somebody in your church that's backslid. I'm not saying anybody here is, but he sent this message and it ain't going to go out void. But I'll tell you right now, a backslid life is a miserable life. Let me tell you something. I've had the taste of God. 38 years I did things my way before I got saved. Yep. And I messed everything I did up. Ain't wasn't nothing I did was good.
Right.
After I got saved, I still messed up. But I'll tell you right now, when God said, repent or perish, I confess my sin. That's what He said to do. You got to confess your sins and ask for repentance. That's what these backsliders have got to do. They got to confess what they've done. See, they think they got it hid. They may be out here drinking behind everybody's back. I don't know what they're doing. They could be doing everything, the pollutions of the world. Hey, God knows all about it. God already knows about it. Your spouse may not know it. Your family may not know it. Your cousins may not know it. God knows it. He's waiting on you to come back. He's waiting on you to confess it. And waiting on you to repent of it.
Yep, right.
But see, that's the problem. Self, Bible says here, self-absorption. What they want to do. Oh, it's okay with what they're doing. It's fine. No, it ain't fine. Because I'll tell you right now, you may walk 100 miles away from God, but you'll walk 200 back. I guarantee you that. And if he'll bring you back one way or the other. I don't care who you are. His son is not going to be mocked. His son is not going to be spit on no more. His son, you're not going to pull his beard out no more. Jesus done went through all that. He made a way of escape to where we could have a better life. Hey, let me tell you something. Just because I said a better life, that don't mean here. I'm talking about on the other side. This world right here, the devils are running wild in it to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's sad when he can take a Christian and get him in his playground and take him away out because he's not yielding to temptation. He's not looking at it. He's not seeing what the devils are doing to him.
Yeah.
Or her or him. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. I've been living for the Lord for 15 years, so I'm still a young pup. I'm just 15 years old in God's army here. But let me tell you something. The devil never bothered me until after I got saved. Once I got saved and he come after me, let me tell you something. He's pulled many a things on me. He's even used my family members on me. He's even went so far as to told me that my church members don't like me. They've been talking about me. And you know, and I had to step back and look. Let me tell you something. That ain't a God. God ain't going to do that to you. God can't tempt you. And James says he can't tempt you. But if the devil can get a Christian man or woman out away from God, that's what he's trying to do. Let me tell you something. God pulled his teeth at Calvary when Jesus rose from the dead. But the thing of it is, if he can take what you got away from God by using you, attempting you with something, he's just showing you something real shiny over here. That's where you'll get away from God. It looks good right now, but down the road, it ain't going to look too good because there's a pain coming for that.
Right.
Let me read on.
Bless him, Lord.
Just bear with me. Divine displeasure. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure in him. Huh? God, he'll draw back from you. Huh? I tell you what, I'd hate to be backslid. Because I'd hate to go to bed at night not knowing if I'm going to wake up the next morning or not. But you know what the thing of it is? God may take somebody that I love dearly away from me. Huh?
Yep.
Now he could. He did it. He did to David. They said David laid on his face for 7 days of begging him and pleading with God. And God said, no, I'm taking him. I'm going to take him. But see, that's what these backsliders, that's what they don't understand. They're not yielding to this temptation that the devil is throwing at them. And they're just a leading out. Hey, they could be hanging out with friends. It could be somebody at their work. It could be somebody that they met. The devil will use anybody he can to draw you away from God. And you know, I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to use myself as an example. I ain't going to pull no fingers at nobody. I never do. I always pull them at me.
Yeah.
If I let the devil get a hold of me and drag me back out into his playground, and everybody knows about all these churches I've been to, and I preach that and stuff in it, how much credibility do you think I'm going to have?
Yep.
He ain't no stronger than that. Huh? Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to believe a word I say. God will have to take that from me. Most likely he'll go ahead and take it away from me. Because I ain't just to preach his word. I'm not just to preach his word now. But I ain't going that far. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, oh, I know what he did. Because that's how people do. That's how people talk. Hey, man, that pastor did this. That preacher did that.
Right.
It's that no. Just as long as I get it right with God, that's fine. But the thing of it is people know what you did. They think, well, I don't know if I can trust you now. I've seen many preachers being done that way. But the thing of it is they let the devil just grab, they let the devil grab them by the nose just like you do an old hog. When you put a ring in his nose, you where you quit rooting around. And that's what the problem is. The devil wants you to root around. The only thing you need to be rooting around in is a good old King James Bible. Getting down at night and praying, rooting in that carpet. God help me.
Yep. Help him, Lord.
But the thing of it is, hey, some people, they'll just keep going. What I'm doing's fine. What you're doing ain't fine. And you don't realize it because the devil's got blinders on you right now. But there'll be a day come that you'll realize what you did is wrong. And you'll be wanting to repent. And God may not hear you. Then what's going to happen?
Right.
Let me read. It says, the loss of spiritual enthusiasm. Revelations 2 and 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Because thou hast left thy first love. That's sad. That's sad. A person's truly being saved. Man, woman, child even. And they get out away from God. When you get out away from God, I believe, well, the Bible says that he'll draw back from you. Huh? He'll draw back from you. That's like these schools and things like that. Now, don't get me wrong about what I'm fixing to say. I know these Christian kids that still go to school, and I know that I know God's protecting them and helping them and leading guiding them, but this country has run God out of everything. Matter of fact, there's most people run God out of their house, out of the schools, and out of our government.
Yep. Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm like this, Dustin. If you invite me to your house, then that means that you want me to come over by your house.
Right.
If you don't invite me, I'm not going to invite myself because I feel like I'm not wanted. And that's with anybody.
Yeah.
You come into a church house and God feels like he's not wanted, he's not going to show up. Now, that's what I tell Mike Sinai all the time. Hey, we got to make God feel like he's wanted. Tell him that we want him. We can't do nothing without him. I can't preach without him. I can't pray without him.
Right.
I can't sleep without him. I can't get up and go to work without him. I need him every minute, every hour, every second, every breath.
Yep. Amen.
People don't see it that way.
Yep.
People don't see it that way. Even when I'm doing good, this body ain't hurting, it ain't bothering me, I still need God.
Yep.
I still need him to help me and lead me and guide me. Because the devil, I'll tell you, I'll be around long enough to know how he likes to use things, and you just got to watch. If you watch and pay attention, you'll see what's going on.
Because
I've said this a million times, I'll say it a million more. God ain't going to tell you. Now, don't you go to church. Don't you read your Bible. Don't you pray.
Right.
That ain't of God. Huh? God tells you to seek him. Huh? He tells you to seek him, to get him. You pray, repent, read your Bible. That's what it is. The devil don't want you to do that because he knows that the further you get away from God, and that's where it starts at. It's when you quit praying, when you quit repenting, when you quit reading your Bible, then that's when you start separating yourself from God.
Right. Amen.
But see, the thing of it is a backslider's life is really hard. Yielding to temptation, don't you? I want to read a couple of these to you. The lure of silver and gold. Joshua 7:21, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and two gold, 50 shekels weight, and I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Now, if you remember, in that story, God told them that all that was his. He's going to take all that. That was his, but he's seen it. You know what happened? Greed come in the picture. Well, I can take a little bit of this here and ain't nobody knows about it. God done knew about it. He done knew what he was going to do. He took it. You know what it was? It was greed. He wanted that because he figured he could have a better life. Let me tell you something. God will give you a better life. He'll give you what you need.
Yep.
Is that not what the Word says? He'll give you what you need. I don't need a big fancy house. I'm content with what I got with my little bitty shack on the side of a hill over there. I'm happy and content every morning. It covers it. It keeps the rain off of me. It keeps me warm in the winter, cool in the summer. And there's always food in the house.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If the devil can take you away from God, he will. But the only thing is, the devil has no power over you. The only power he's got over you is what you let him have.
Yep.
And what you let him have, I'm not giving him no power over me. He don't own me. He's just trying to destroy me. He's trying to get me away from. Hey, if he could shut every preacher up that is truly called by God, and is preaching the truth, he'd kill every one of them if he could.
Yeah.
Now, he would.
Yeah.
Let me read a couple more. Oh, here's one that's most common. And we hear about it. Have you ever seen a couple, you know, the next thing you know, they're having problems? The wife or the husband one has stepped out because they think the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
Have you ever known that? Have you ever seen that? I've seen several Christian people, they say, oh, well, they divorced this one because this one wanted to be with this one and that one and with that one. You go in Matthew and read, you ain't supposed to divorce one to be with another. But anyway, this is what it says. It says the lure of a woman. 1 Kings 11:1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidians and Hittites. 1 Kings 11:4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart of David his father. Now, there've been many. Now, I hate to say this, but I know several people that's married and they step out on their wives, or their wives are stepping out on their husbands, and I don't understand that. The way I see it, look, I asked God for 7 years. Like I said, I'll make an example out of me. I prayed for 7 years. I said, Lord, I said, send me a woman that loves you as much as I do. Now, which I dated, I took several out, and them several I took out, every one of them got mad at me because I told them, I said, there ain't nothing there because I didn't feel nothing. You know, it's different in loving somebody, but when you're in love with somebody, God will let you know if it's the right one or not. And I told them, I said, I'm sorry, but I just don't feel nothing. But there was one day God sent me. I just on Facebook, I like Marketplace pretty good. There was a woman that said hi. That's all she said was hi. And she's sitting here tonight. She said hi. And I looked, and you know, I looked at the picture. I said, well, I'm going to say hi back. So I said hi back, just being nice. We talked for, 2-3 months, I believe what it was, something like that. Me and her's been together, been married 3.5 years, almost 4 years, been together 4.5 years. But when we got to talk, you know what the first thing we talked about, sister? Oh, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I don't go drinking, I don't drugging, I said, I don't cuss. I said, I don't go to beer joints. I don't go to parties, not unless they birthday parties for my grandbabies or something like that. I said, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I said, I am a God-called preacher. I ain't the best, but I ain't too bad.
And then she told me her testimony where she got saved. I said, well, boy, it's getting off pretty good. We talked about God, and she tell me her testimony. And I told her mine. And we kept a talking. Then we met one night in a Mexican restaurant. Because I wanted to know. But you can talk to somebody over the phone and get to know them. But you ain't going to feel what you need to feel unless you're beside them. My spirit bear witness with that spirit. And we got to talking there. I ain't going to tell you what it did. I will tell you. I figured she's either going to slap me or going to knock me out. I give her a little kiss. She didn't hit me. She didn't knock me out. And all the way home, I said, Lord, if that's for me, I said, you let it be.
Yeah.
I said, you let it be. I said, I'll take her. I said, I don't care what she looks like. Don't care where she's from. I don't care if she's from North Dakota and she's a squaw. It don't matter. As long as she loves God, she loves you. I said, that's all that matters to me. But when you ask for something, you got to believe it. God's going to do it. It took him 7 years to send me the right one. We got a lot in common. We got to talking about the way her ex did her and mine did me and all this. But the thing that bears witness with one another is our testimonies. And I said, I'm not going back on God. I said, so if you come with me, if you marry me, I said, we're going to church. She said, okay. She said, I ain't been to church in a long time because church is over there or something. I said, okay. I said, well, I said, I go to church. You know, Dustin, every Sunday morning at 7:30, that young lady gets up, she gets ready. I don't have to go in there and tell her, hey, we're going to church this morning. Wednesday night when I get home from work, I come in, take a shower. She's done ready to wait on me. Huh? God sent me a gift.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, why would I ruin a gift from God that He gave me, that I asked for, that loves Him as much as I do, if I want to go out here and stray around? There ain't no other woman for me. Now, she puts up with a lot. Oh, no, she's married to Bobby Whitehead. If you don't know Bobby Whitehead, I'm saying, I pick her. But it's a good thing. But the thing of it is, though, is I know the goodness of God is what I'm trying to tell you. I know the goodness of God. I've tasted the goodness of God.
Right.
And I'm not going to depart from Him and backslid on my Father. I'm not going to step on the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do it. Now, I'm not telling you that I don't sin and fail and come short, because I do. But you're not going to see me do anything drastic like that. And I told God, see, when you make a vow to God, when God saved me, I said, Lord, I'm going to live for you, God. I didn't say I was going to live for me. I said, God, I'll live for you. I made a vow with Him.
Yeah.
The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make one, because God holds it, holds that vow very seriously. And I'm not going to depart from Him, Dustin. Yeah. I'm not going to get out here and do this foolishness. I did the foolishness for 38 years of my life and didn't get anywhere, didn't accomplish nothing. Since I've been saved, God has accomplished me, made me a better person than I used to be. I told her, I said, if you'd have met me back in my young days, I said, you probably wouldn't even talk to me, because I didn't like myself. But the thing of it is, though, is the point is tonight, once you've had the taste of the goodness of God, why would you slap Him in His face and walk away from Him? Not me. I'm going to fight until God takes the last breath. See, the devil can torment you, but God's got the last say-so. God give me life and He'll take it away. So I'm His. And to be His doesn't mean for me to get out here and get back into this pollution that I read to you. It's the pollution of the world. He says to come out and be separate. God's people is peculiar people. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do the best I can. And I try to do the best that I can.
I can't read that good. I never could in school. Couldn't understand much. Everything I've read, I got to read it 3 or 4 times without getting this Bible. God opened that book up to me. Yeah. I may can't remember every verse, every word, but I'll tell you what. When it comes time, he just puts it to me. I can't understand it because my God doesn't fit in a thimble. My God's a big old God.
Yeah.
My God doesn't fit in my back pocket either. No, my God's huge. But the thing of it is I've tasted the goodness of God and I'm not going to leave it.
Yep. Amen.
I'm not going to leave my honey bucket. Hey, I know who feeds me. I know who clothes me. I know who supports me. And I know who bats me. And I know who caresses me. But when I do wrong, and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I failed and come short of your glory. Hey, don't kick me under the pew. Okay, let's try this again. So if you got anything out of this tonight, once you've had the great tasteness of God, don't walk away from Him. Because I've heard people that has been back, and my mother was one of them. She said, because after she come back to the Lord, after 42 years, she come back to the Lord, she got it right. And 6 days before she died, we had a play up at the church, Mount Sinai. She's one of the ones that come, and she said, I just wanted to make sure I got things right with God. Because she told me a week or two prior, she said, I'm fixing to check out. I didn't understand what she's talking about because I didn't know how bad her cancer was, anything like that. But she hugged me that night. She said, son, I just had to get a few things right with God. I said, well, you're in the right place. You're in the right place.
Yep.
Don't let the devil stray you out.
Amen.
Don't let the devil get you out on his playground. Don't let him do you that way. He ain't got no power off you. Hey, if he puts something in front of you that's real shiny and pretty, and you go, oh, I can do that, sit back for a minute and think about it. Is God going to tempt you with something like that? No, he's not. He's not. I'm telling you. I've had the good taste of God, and He still, every day, He gets me up for work. And this old body's wearing out, and I'm feeling it. But He gave me what I asked for. He said He'd give us the desires of our heart. I desired to have somebody that loved Him as much as I did. And He'd give it to me. I'm not going to ruin that. I may aggravate or make her mad. I do that a lot. But it's all in fun. But I tell you what, don't walk away from God.
Yeah.
Stay with Him. Stay as close to Him as you can get. You remember the story about the woman. She had the blood issue. Could you imagine Jesus walking down the road and all His disciples around Him? She said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'd be made whole. Could you imagine seeing her fight to get to His hem of His garment, to fight through them people? But she did because she knew if she could get to them, that she'd be made whole. And what Jesus did, He stopped it. He felt the virtue go out. Who touched me? And she was sitting down there crying. He didn't kick her under the curb, did he? He told her, get up. You've been made whole. Her faith. Don't walk away from God.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, brother, that's all I got.